ASDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Morgan Tony mixes his Mi'kmaq language and culture with expert Celtic fiddle playing in his new album, Heal the Divide. We'll hear from him today. The Arizona rockabilly band, the Rez Tones, are taking their high-energy sound on tour. They'll join us this hour. And we'll top it off with a sneak peek at Shoshone writer and poet Tanea Winder's debut music album that includes an anthem for healing. It's our Native playlist for the first day of spring, right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Educators and lawmakers are blasting President Trump's push to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. Among them is the vice chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. In a release, Democratic Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii said the Education Department is part of the federal government's core trust and treaty responsibility to American Indians, Native Hawaiians, and Alaska Natives. Schatz says over 90% of Native students attend public schools who will be at the mercy of state governments that have no legal responsibility to meet needs. The elimination of the department would affect special education, language learner supports, and Title VI Indian education programs, among others. Furthermore, Native higher education would be affected, including funding for tribal colleges and programs administering federal loans and Pell Grants. Trump's rationale includes low academic scores during the pandemic. Neither Trump nor his staff have explained how ending the department would boost student performance. The Colorado-based Native American Rights Fund has filed a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's efforts to cut U.S. Department of Education spending. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has more.
The nonprofit argues in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., that funding cuts are a violation of longstanding treaties between tribes and the U.S. government. Attorney Jacqueline De Leon is leading the legal effort. She says cuts, including layoffs of about a quarter of the staff, were made without input from tribes.
The federal government has to consult with tribes before they make changes to education, including to staffing, and they have a responsibility to fulfill those education requirements separately and apart from policy decisions or politics.
The suit names two indigenous colleges, one in Kansas and the Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute in New Mexico. De Leon says a ruling could affect schools across the American Indian Higher Education Consortium of 37 tribal institutions across the country, including those in Mountain West states. The Secretary of the Department of the Interior is named as the defendant in the suit and has not yet filed a response, according to court filings. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
Native American students in New Mexico will be able to wear their tribal regalia at graduation ceremonies this spring after Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed a bill into law on Wednesday. Reporter Jeanette DeDios has more.
Senate Bill 163 prevents school boards from banning tribal regalia at graduation ceremonies. The bill is a response to an incident that occurred last May in Farmington, New Mexico, where a Native American high school graduate was ordered to remove their graduation cap that had an eagle plume and beads. Despite some initial concerns from lawmakers, the bill passed unanimously through both chambers before being signed by the governor. Lujan Grisham says Native American students are at a higher risk of being bullied and committing suicide. And this bill encourages them to be proud of who they are and can help promote their well-being.
This is really about making sure that New Mexico stands on the right side of the civil rights issue and on the right side of kids.
New Mexico Secretary for the Indian Affairs Department, Josette Monette, is from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa and says she's excited to see this year's graduates in their tribal regalia.
Shows New Mexico's dedication and respect for our Native students throughout the entire state.
Monette said her department plans to create a campaign that will collect pictures of this year's Native American students during their graduation ceremonies. Those will be shared on social media and other outlets to recognize the hard work of the students and the passing of this bill, which goes into effect immediately. For National Native News, I'm Jeanette DeDios.
And yesterday, we reported on the disappearance of references to Navajo code talkers on U.S. military websites. We've learned since then that following widespread outcry, those references and webpages are back up. This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members serve to alleviate poverty while earning money for college and gaining professional skills. Rewarding service opportunities can be found at AmeriCorps.gov/VISTA.
Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Support provided by First National Bank Alaska, offering a one-solution, tailored approach to meet the financial needs of Alaskans by providing banking services, loans, investments, and more to help shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce, hosting live from Studio 3 at KNBA Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Mi'kmaq fiddler and singer-songwriter Morgan Toney's music is a blend of cultures and genres. He sometimes calls it Mi'kmeltic, a mixture of Mi'kmaq and Celtic music. His new album, Heal the Divide, includes high-energy tunes with unmistakable Celtic reels, blending with powwow songs and lyrics in his tribal language. Tucson, Arizona band The Rez Tones put an indigenous twist in fast-tempo rockabilly with their own indigenous overtones. Their latest album is Chest Full of Arrows. And Tanea Winder's first full-length music album, Call Back Your Heart, is coming out very soon. It's about building and recognizing your own strength. We'll get a sneak peek from her today. These musicians are on our Native playlist. Music enthusiasts and other listeners can join today's conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE, and we've got the phone lines open right now. Give us a call. Joining us from Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, Canada, is Morgan Toney. He is a fiddler, singer, and songwriter. He is Mi'kmaq. Morgan, welcome to Native America Calling. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joining us from Tucson, Arizona is Ace Rez Tone. He's the lead vocalist for the Rez Tones. He is Dene. Ace, hello, and welcome to you also.
Hi, Yate. Thank you for having me.
Yate. And joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico is Tanea Winder. She's a musical artist, a writer, a motivational speaker. She is Southern Ute, Pyramid Lake Paiute, Dene, and enrolled with the Duckwater Shoshone Tribe. Tanea, hello, and welcome back to NAC.
Hi, thanks again for having me.
It's a pleasure to have all of you on the show. And Morgan, I want to begin with you. Heal the Divide, it's your third album. Tell us the story behind the title. What is the divide that needs healing?
Well, it all started with a conversation we had about Donald Marshall Jr. And his life was this, he was always committed to healing the division in the nation and healing the division in the system, in the court system. And he was pretty much our inspiration for the whole album. And our whole album and the lyrics revolve around his teachings that he shared.
Well, let's get into it. This is a music show, so we want to hear some tracks. Let's hear this first one, Heal the Divide.
Far and wide, the time is now to all unite. The choice is yours to decide how you use the
voice inside. Hear the divine. Hear the divine. We gotta hear the divine. Hear the divine.
Heal the Divide, the title track from Morgan Toney's new album. And Morgan, I love it. I am all about that fiddle, brother. I just really, really like the way you play. And tell us more about what's going on musically in that track.
Well, you know, when we first got started a couple of years ago, it was only the two of us. So myself and Keith Mullins. Keith has been an incredible mentor. And within the past year, we added a third. So we're a trio now. And his name is Ryan Roberts. And he played with a couple of bluegrass bands and a couple of bands out in Nashville. And his songwriting is just beautiful. So when we all came together as the trio and started writing songs together, he gave us the freedom to just be creative and try out new things, even if they don't work. You know, just try to figure out these routes musically that we can take. And now I'm really proud to say that there's no restrictions with our music musically. And I just love that track. I really do. The fiddling, man, I'm shocked myself to even think about it. You know, for being someone, I haven't been playing the fiddle that long, maybe seven, eight years now. But these two guys have been just wonderful teachers to have in my corner.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It really, really shows. Just a beautiful, beautiful track. And Morgan, the styles of music that you draw from, we can certainly hear the Celtic influence with that fiddle, but talk about the Mi'kmaq elements that you add as well.
Well, with all of our music, you know, we're always trying to incorporate as many teachings as we can. Like these teachings, someone can learn just by speaking to an elder or listening to them speak or listening to them chant the songs that we've been singing as far back as anyone could remember. And as well, most importantly, the language. And we're trying to incorporate all of these things about our culture in our music, and as well as the important messages, you know, like the battles that we have been fighting. You know, we're just trying to spread the good message. And I feel like Heal the Divide does spread the good message, and we're really proud of it.
All right. Well, let's hear more of your fiddle, Morgan. Here's another song. It's called Golden Regalia. We'll be right back. That was Golden Regalia. And Morgan, I'm hearing a little powwow music there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so when we got into the studio for the first time, we know that we are all about that Mi'kmaqtik fusion, but we really wanted to channel it just a little bit more. And an idea came to me one time when we were listening to the Stony Bear Singers, which is the powwow group that you hear in that track. But we were just listening to one of their albums, and I had this crazy idea. If I can play a fiddle tune over their singing. So they were doing a crow hop on just one time when we were driving. And I didn't tell Keith anything, so I just picked up my fiddle and started to play in the passenger seat. And Keith looked at me, and he was like, oh, my goodness, we have to do this. So we asked them if they can come into the studio, and they did. And we kind of spent the whole week together just, like, trying to come up with these arrangements for Golden Regalia. And that is something that we came up with, and that's Mi'kmaqtik all the way.
Yeah, it is hot. It's a really, really good track. I love this album. You also have some traditional language elements in the album. Tell us about those.
Yeah, it goes back to what I said earlier, because I was just at the local school this morning. I was just talking to a couple of elders, and I did a couple interviews with them, and they were like, our language, you know, it's so powerful. Like, English is my first language, unfortunately, but, like, I'm doing the best I can to relearn the language, and music has definitely been a big help and big support in learning the language, and by incorporating the language in our songs, you know, I feel like it sets a really good example, especially for our youth who are trying to learn their language, you know, the language of our ancestors, and I feel like with the Gojwa that we did a couple of years back, when it's nothing but the Mi'kmaq language, it really encourages them, I hope, to relearn the language.
All right, Morgan Tony kicking off the discussion here on Native America Calling, learning to play the fiddle and also learning more about how to speak his indigenous language, and he's putting it all on recordings for us. So wonderful, wonderful tracks that we're listening to. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and we're going to hear from Ace Restone and some new sounds from the Restones. Norma Wong tackles politics informed by both Zen Buddhism and indigenous knowledge. The Native Hawaiian writer is both a Zen master and a political strategist. She has a unique lesson for people navigating tumultuous and divisive times. Norma Wong joins us as this month's Native in the Spotlight on the next Native America Calling.
Trickster Cultural Center hosts the 11th Annual National Gathering of American Indian Veterans to honor veterans and military personnel of all cultures, eras, and branches in a Native way. Trickster Cultural Center's National Gathering of American Indian Veterans is open to the public at no charge Friday, July 18th and Saturday, July 19th in Schaumburg, Illinois. More at TricksterCulturalCenter.org/national-gathering-2025. Trickster Cultural Center supports this show.
You're listening to Native America Calling. We're talking to indigenous musicians today about their recent creative projects. You can join whether you are a fan or you have a question. We're at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Pick up that phone, give us a call, join the conversation. Ace Restone joins us now from Tucson, Arizona. He is the lead vocalist for the Restones. And Ace, let's talk about your brand of rockabilly. Is it unique to Southern Arizona where you're from?
Yeah, I think so. I think our take is very unique. It doesn't really follow your typical rockabilly blues patterns. And I think that's the reason why we have a lot of people that respond to us.
Well, I've got a question for you, brother. Rockabilly, there's another type of genre out there. It's called psychobilly. What's the difference? I'm not really clear myself.
Oh, yeah. So rockabilly came from the old, like, Johnny Cash sound from Sun Records back in the 50s. That genre of music is still very strong to this day. There's new bands coming out all the time, and it's really cool. But psychobilly is kind of a blend of punk rock and rockabilly, so it's faster. It doesn't follow the normal pattern of rockabilly. It's very much like Green Day influence, or, you know, but they, and also the subject matter is different.
How different? What's the different? What kind of subject matter will you hear in psychobilly as opposed to rockabilly?
Well, the psychobilly music tends to cater to like horror movies, like Frankenstein or zombies and stuff like that. But we take our element and just make it to what I grew up with, growing up in the Navajo Reservation, and like the things that I thought that still stick with a lot of people about like what we do for fun and having good times.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a good segue to the track we're going to play now. It's called Witchcraft. It's from your latest album, Chest Full of Arrows.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
That was Witchcraft by the Rez Tones, and we have Ace Rez Tone on the line right now in Tucson, Arizona. And Ace, really, really liked that track too. I've always been a big fan of that rockabilly sound going way back. Even as a kid, I remember hearing a lot of that stuff when I was growing up. And tell us a little bit more about Witchcraft. Who else playing on that track, and how'd you guys put it together?
Actually, it was my guitar player, Chris Yazzie. He's an amazing musician, guitarist, and one of the cool things about being in a band with him is it's so easy for us to come up with music together, and that's Tommy Hardy on drums. And the song is about the idea back in the day in the 50s when rock and roll was considered evil music, and any bands that were playing it were, you know, there's a lot of protests against it, and like this day and age, us being in that genre, being who we are, is a very unique thing because there's very, very little Native American rockabilly musicians out there. So it's just a cool little, hey, here we are. We're going to have a good time. And here's the love that we put out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk more about your musical inspiration, because you just mentioned that there aren't a lot of other natives playing rockabilly. Did you hear some of this stuff growing up there in Arizona, or did you get more of your inspiration coming from other places?
Actually, it was my grandfather, who was a Korean war veteran. Growing up with him and, you know, spending my summers with my grandparents, he was always listening to the local, like, Navajo stations. They would play a blend of, like, traditional music, and then you would have, like, Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash in the middle of that. And he always had the style, and I never knew what that style was, with the pompadour and the cuffed jeans and all that. But he always had that until he passed away, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And not realizing that being a greaser or a rockabilly, it's very much like a rebellious thing, but it was very, like, it's kind of part of the culture here. Like, when you're growing up in the res, you have, like, you have to keep your cars going, and you're kind of rebelling against the system by being who you are. So that was kind of my inspiration for that. And then when I was growing up, you know, Stray Cats was a big influence on me too. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, where are some of the stores that you're sharing this album, and how can people listen?
Right now it's all online, and, like, physical copies are being made of the album. We're finally getting a vinyl being put out. So, like, we would take that on the road and everything, but you can listen to the album and our EPs and everything else that we put out on any streaming service that you have.
All right, thanks, Ace. Let's play another track. This song is titled Res Tone Stomp. The Res Tone Stomp by the Res Tones, and we're joined with Ace Res Tone talking about his music. And Ace, that's another really solid track. I like it a lot. And tell us more about your shows. I know you have a really, really dedicated following.
Yeah, we do
tend to play a lot of rockabilly festivals and vintage motorcycle stuff. Our next show is on April 12th in Phoenix for the Front Moto show, and it's like this big vintage bike festival. And then we'll go to Viva Las Vegas later then, and that's the biggest rockabilly festival in the U.S. And we also have tours coming up through California and Colorado. So, yeah.
Ace, is there a lot of dancing in the audience? And if so, how do they dance? I'm curious to know.
Oh, man, it is. Depending on which the song is, there's, you know, if you go to a rockabilly show, like, they have their own, like, bopping and jiving dances and stuff that they do. And then there's a lot of just people losing their minds. And it's a great energy. It is a very positive energy when you come to a show for us. And we put it out there. You see us, we put 110% in the performance. I mean, I leave the stage, I'm dripping in sweat, and I'm completely sore the next day.
I also really like the album title, Chest Full of Arrows. How'd you come up with that?
That was actually my guitar player's idea. He had a band, a punk band back in the day. I think it was in San Francisco, and it was called Chest Full of Arrows. And I just thought that was the coolest, like, just the coolest, like, title for something, like a song or, you know. So I asked him, like, can we just name it that? Because we were trying to figure out a name for the album. We just gripped onto it and never let go, and it kind of driven a lot of the content in the entire album.
Uh-huh. And Psychobilly, is it continuing to evolve, and where do you see the genre headed in the next 10 years or so? And just compare how it's changed just since you've been playing.
Wow. Like, I think hearing the younger generation do it, like, I've seen cats in their 20s coming up, like, learning how to play upright and just singing about, you know, a lot of the same subject matter as they did back in, like, Joe Clay and Johnny Cash days. About just, you know, stories and, like, relationships and, you know, love lost. But just seeing, like, the other native rockabilly groups just their take on their perspective, where they grew up and what reservations, and just hearing, like, the stories that come out of it, like for us. I think it's always been a story-based kind of genre, and I think our perspective is very unique, and people really respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I play a little bit of guitar. I'm no pro by any means, but I do enjoy hitting a guitar every now and then. And without getting too technical, because I know probably not everybody listening to the show plays music, but how do you get that distinctive sound, especially coming from your guitars?
Well, I know Chris bought a specific Fender, like, tube amp. I think we recorded with a Fender DeVille. But just the Gretsch guitar, like a hollow body guitar and a nice tube amp, throw on some reverb and then maybe a little bit of delay, and you got that sound.
Nice. Ace, yeah. What do you have planned? Any more studio work coming up here in the next year or so?
So we're actually starting to work on the next album. This first album we did, it took us a long time to finish. It took us almost a year to finish. Having to find the right bass player. I ended up playing bass on the album, but now we have another Navajo guy, The Fly. He plays in another psychobilly group in New Mexico, and he came in. And he's been a really good fit for us. It's just good to have that native energy and that raw talent there. And we've already started working on songs. We're like 4 songs in already, and just writing and recording and enjoying, like, everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to the guitars, what are the other instruments that really create that classic rockabilly sound that you have going on?
Oh, you definitely have to have an upright bass. And just, like, the way the sound, like, the swing of it, you know, like, because no matter what, that bass you have to follow that bass. So our drummer, who has never really played rockabilly before, he had to learn how to do that, because it's not just your typical 4/4 beat. It's got a swing to it that makes it that rockabilly, that sound.
Okay. And the upright bass, you're talking about one of those big acoustic basses big wooden bases, right?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a cello, but it's even bigger.
Right.
And
yeah.
When you go on tour, that thing is a pain to you know move around, but it's just worth it. It's eye catching. It has its own sound. People are drawn to it. And it's just ours is different because we put like a Navajo rug pattern on the side of it. So yeah, it's just it's definitely got its own flair and personality.
Ace, do you ever teach lessons or help anybody out who wants to learn how to play music?
You know, I am not a good teacher. I'll give you like references on how I learned. Like I tried to do traditional, like, you know, go learn how to play from a teacher and stuff. But when it comes down to it, if there's something you really want to learn, just grab that and grab an instrument. If you need to find the tabs online, find the tablatures online and go through it. But eventually the best way I've always learned is by ear. And that's kind of like if you're in a rockabilly group, there are times when, you know, people jam together, especially when Viva Las Vegas being the biggest rockabilly event, there are like 100 bands, and they spend the time to just listen and learn and just follow them. And a lot of times like new groups come out of it because they just had a click. So, yeah, just teaching it, I'm not great at it, but I can definitely show you the way.
Right on. Ace Reztone with the Reztones here on Native America Calling Live. We're going to take another short break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk with Tanea Winder, and we're going to hear some music from her first full-length album. We've also got a caller on the line who we're going to take. So stay with us. And if you'd like to join the conversation, just pick up your phone. Call 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. That connects you with our studio in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And our producers are waiting for your call. And I am here hosting the show this week in Anchorage, Alaska at KNBA Radio. So join the conversation. 1-800-99-NATIVE.
Support for law and justice related programming provided by Hobbs Strauss Dean and Walker LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for over 40 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing millions of dollars of scholarships to Native students every year. Applications are accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org or by phone at 800-766-FUND.
If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, it's important to act fast and start hands-only CPR. Call for emergency medical help and an AED. Push hard and fast in the center of the chest, giving 100 to 120 compressions per minute until help arrives. Learn more from the American Heart Association about the life-saving skill of CPR at heart.org/nation. The American Heart Association supports this show.
Did you know that one person can save up to 8 lives and heal dozens more through the gift of organ and tissue donation? Give hope to thousands of people across the U.S. waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. Learn more about the power of organ, eye, and tissue donation with Life Center Northwest, the organ procurement organization serving all of Alaska, at lcnw.org. That's lcnw.org. Support for this program provided by the law firm of Landy Bennett Blumstein, attorneys who know the people, the business, the tribes, and the communities of Alaska. Landy Bennett Blumstein, online at lbblawyers.com. Support provided by First National Bank Alaska, offering a one-solution, tailored approach to meet the financial needs of Alaskans by providing banking services, loans, investments, and more to help shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
This is Native America Calling. We're talking with Native music makers today, and you can join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. What new albums or songs by Native artists are on your playlist? Let us know. 1-800-99-NATIVE. We have a caller on the line. This is Jin, who listens to our show every day in East Texas online. Jin, it's great to have you calling in today.
Thank you so much. I could not
keep myself from calling because I just had to call to say how exciting this music, the music makers are today. The earlier music made over the powwow music was so special. It just really moved me. And I was brought up when rock and roll was first started, and we always, as a teenager in those days, we always enjoyed a good rumble, if you know what I mean.
I saw The Outsiders.
Yeah, and this music is so awesome with that sound, as well as the rumble, the fantastic rumble maker. The motorcycle guys probably love this because it reminds them of the same sort of thing. And it just makes me wish I had another Native American music radio program so I could play this music for everybody. So thank you so much, the music makers. Thank you. We needed this new breath.
All right, Jen, appreciate you calling in. And Jen, you describe yourself as being there at the beginning of the rock and roll era. That's going back a few years there. So you're definitely dating yourself, but appreciate you calling. I don't think you're that old, Jen. I really don't. I don't think you can quite. I mean, we're going back a lot of years now, early 1950s. But thank you so much. And let's talk now with Tanea Winder. She's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she has a brand new album. It's titled Call Back Your Heart. And Tanea, welcome again to the show. And tell us about the album title and tell us about everything you got going on with this project. It's so exciting.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. Call Back Your Heart. I'm so excited to finally put this out in the world. I feel like there's just so many things that can happen to us in life, you know, whether it's generationally, intergenerationally, or personally, things that feel like they impact your spirit. And so I know a lot of tribes, a lot of people, you know, will say, call back your spirit, make sure you call back your spirit. And for me, I wanted to write an album with songs intended to call back your heart. You know, things happen to you throughout your life that feel like your heart breaks into pieces, or that you leave part of your heart with people or with certain situations or circumstances, that it's never too late to heal. It's never too late to call back all of those pieces of yourself, to put yourself back together in strong, powerful, beautiful ways. And the songs on this album are about situations where there are those heart ruptures, and about how to bring back, call yourself back home.
I love that message, Tanea. So beautiful. We're going to play a song here in just a moment. It's titled Maybe. But before we do, what's the message with this song specifically?
Yeah, this song specifically, it was a hard one to write. You know, like I started off writing poetry and then switched to music. And I feel like, you know, music is, it really just helps. I feel like when I sing, that's like my spirit. You're hearing my spirit come through this vessel that is my body. And growing up, you know, you sing songs in ceremony and prayer. And so this song, maybe it's about having lost somebody to suicide. And I've done a lot of work, like with communities, teaching writing to heal workshops, or writing as medicine, music as medicine. And so this song has that intention. You know, we all probably wish there were things we wish we could have said to somebody we loved who is no longer here, or that our words could be so powerful that they could make somebody stay when they want to leave or choose to leave. And so this song is really just about exploring that emotion and that concept.
All right, let's take a listen.
From falling apart, there are
That song was titled Maybe. It's from Tanea Winder's new album, Call Back Your Heart. And Tanea, this is great. I love your sound. I love the enthusiasm. I love the message. And what's so cool is, I mean, this is new to you. You started out as a poet and a writer. What prompted you to take this musical path now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like music has always been there. Like, if I was one of those kids, and this will date me too, age me too, but I would record myself singing on cassette tapes and send it to my grandparents, and they would play it and sing it. And I just always loved singing. But I think just when you're little, whether it's bullying or different things happening, like, you kind of lose yourself a little bit. And I felt like I didn't really have that confidence to sing as much until I started doing poetry and then touring with a group of Native artists. We had a collective called Dream Warriors. And so there was four of us a part of it at that time, Frank Walm, Mike Jordan, and Tall Paul. And touring with them, I would do my spoken word and they would do music. And they started just inviting me to sing, like, backup, sing on some of their hooks. And then it led to them gifting me a guitar. Like, the three of them chipped in and purchased a guitar for me, an acoustic. And I just started playing and making songs and writing my first music. And I feel like that just really gave me the confidence to, like, to make my way back to myself. Like, oh, it was music all along.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, this all transpired during COVID. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I was starting to get into music. So I reached out to some friends who did music. Native New Mexican, Dene, hip-hop artist Christopher Defy Bitta, he was letting me do some hooks for one of his songs, and I was in a studio in Boulder, Colorado, where I was living at the time, recording. And then I was just talking to the audio engineer there, saying, like, I wish I had somebody who could turn, you know, my songs into, like, full beats and, like, create, like, backing tracks for them. And he just so happened to be a musician who plays, like, drums, guitar. He sings too, and he made beats for his band. And so he said he'd love to collaborate, and we became friends. I would just send him, you know, I think Stevie Nicks used to do this. I would just send me and my guitar to him, and he would just help, like, ask what sound I was looking for, and he would turn it into just these beautiful productions that you hear now. And, you know, and then COVID happened, and so he moved away, I moved away, and we finally just got back together to finalize everything and record the final vocals in August.
Well, tell us his name. I mean, this great collaboration.
Oh, yes. Yeah. His name is Kyle Shepherd, and he does his own music as well too, Kyle Shepherd Music and Productions.
All right. Awesome. Let's hear another song. This one is called Come Back to Me. We'll play it right now.
To heal wounds and so much hurt.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And Tanea, you know what? We couldn't fade that. We couldn't do it. We had to play the whole thing. You had that big ending. There's a choir coming in there. Just awesome. Awesome. Tell us more about that song and what it took to put that together.
Oh my gosh. That is actually the first song I ever wrote on guitar. I wrote it when I was actually doing a gig in Anchorage, Alaska. I was there with and Tall Paul. And it was kind of a song I wrote to just call back myself, right? It was actually a trip where I decided to get and stay completely sober. I wrote that song to call my spirit back, and it just became a song that I kept trying to find the right chords, the right like progression, and it's just been a song that has stuck with me and carried me through like moments of, at the time I was working with a lot of Native youth who did struggle with suicidality and depression and mental health, and how to balance my own healing with helping support someone on their healing journey, and really just having to dig deep and realize, you know, you always have like those ancestral medicines with you that you can call on for help. And it just felt like it needed to be a big song. I imagine it being sung by choirs one day, which actually will happen, but that's just me, Kyle, and his partner Mal, just layering our voices. Like, thankfully we have ranges where we could do high and low, but just layering us over and over to make it sound full like a choir. But there's a choir director named Edgar based in Denison, Colorado, who reached out to me wanting to just collaborate with more Indigenous musicians. I sent the track, and his choir is going to learn it, and I'm going to get to sing with them later next month.
Tanea, poet, writer, now musical artist, what's next?
I hope more music, more poetry, more all of it, just wherever spirit calls me. But I'd love to do another album, because again, this one was years in the making, so it's nice to, it will be released and out in the world on Monday, March 24th, so y'all are getting a sneak peek, but it'll be available on all streaming platforms. But I would honestly love to turn it into a musical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah. What about any tour dates planned?
I'm hoping this will help with that. You know, I get a lot of bookings for motivational speaking and things like that, but not so much music yet. So I'm hoping this will lead to some good opportunities. But, you know, later next month, I'm heading to Pasco, Washington for a Women of Color Sisterhood healing retreat that's happening. And then, and later this summer, I'll be back in my community in the Southern Ute Reservation for their Jimmy Newton Youth Conference.
All right. Well, Tanea, thank you so much for joining the conversation, and best of luck going forward. All of our guests on the show today, Morgan, Tony, Ace, Restone, and Tanea Winder. And we'll have more information about this new music on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Join us next week when we begin with a discussion from a Native Hawaiian political strategist who is also a Zen master. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our producers are Andy Murphy and Sol Traverso. Joe Thompson is the UNM Local News Fellow. Marino Spencer is the engineer with assistance this week from Van Craft Engineering Support in Anchorage. Sho McPoland is the digital producer. Nola Daves Moses is the distribution director. Bob Peterson is the network manager for Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our National Underwriting Sales Director. Antonio Gonzalez is the anchor for National Native News. Charles Sather is our Chief Operations Officer. The President and CEO of Kwanic Broadcast Corporation is Jacqueline Salee. Have a safe weekend. I'm Sean Spruce.
Support for journalism that raises the awareness of child well-being to citizens and to policymakers provided by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. Information at aecf.org. See Renewal's expertise in energy, housing, land use, fire protection, and more in multi-jurisdictional environments helps tribes leverage existing assets, grow capacity, and gain competitive advantage. See Renewal supports this show. SEERenewal.com.
Support provided by Amerind. Amerind is 100% tribally owned and partners with tribes and their businesses to provide affordable commercial insurance coverage, protect tribal sovereignty, and strengthen Native American communities by helping to keep dollars in Indian country. Information about property, liability, commercial auto, and workers' comp available at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Bonnie, bonnie banks of Loch Lomond. By yon bonnie banks and by yon